Welcome to episode number 350 of the Family Podcast Network. Today we're going to talk about mistakes and how not only is making mistakes good as a parent, we want our kids to see us make mistakes. We also want to see our kids make mistakes as well. Not life-threatening, but those mistakes are where they're going to gain a lot of their ability to be successful in life. Stay tuned for that and more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent, there is always something we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is January the 12th, 2014. It is beginning of the week Monday. That's right, it is the start of the week here. Fresh new year in 2015. Actually, I'm not sure. I may have said 2014 in the intro segment. If I did, I'm in 2015. I'm not taking you guys a year back here. Our topic for today is going to be mistakes and how they're good. Now, guys, this isn't just the average don't worry if you've screwed up thing. We're going to talk today about a little more of a strategic approach that we can have towards mistakes and how some of the most embarrassing mistakes that not only we can make now, but also some of the most embarrassing mistakes that we've had as we've grown, you know, grown up are some of the best things that we can go through. We're going to talk a little bit today about the mentality, the opposite mentality of that. If we don't put ourselves in positions where we're making mistakes, you're probably not growing. And if you're not growing, there is no stagnation in the human body. You're either growing yourself or you're losing what you've got. I mean, that's just kind of the nature of it. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the neurology behind mistakes and why our kids need to see us make these mistakes and be able to grow from them. Before we get into that, some quick housekeeping. If you guys want to stay notified of all the new episodes that come out here at the Family Podcast Network, simple, easy way to do that. Go to thefamilypodcastnetwork.com and make sure you want to check out the new site. It looks really nice. We're working on building in some of the features you guys are asking for. But right now, if you'll scroll down there just a little bit, you'll see you don't want to miss a show. That's right. Enter in your name and enter in your best email that you've got. Click the Submit Boom button. Yes, it does say Submit and Boom in traditional Trey style. Click on that and you'll make sure you get on a list of folks that get notified every time a new episode comes out here. Why do we do that? We want to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. That one episode, if you just could have heard this week, it would have changed everything. It's one of our most loved and favorite and most retained amount. A lot of people sign up for other stuff that we do, but this is one of the ones that people just don't sign. They rarely ever opt out of. And so you make sure that you know every time we put out a new show, what exactly is it we talk about. That will in fact cover both the Family Podcast Network and the Real Family Guys podcast as well. So sign up once, you get all of those. Always know what our shows are about. Also, guys, you want to support the show. That's right. If you feel like you're getting three dimes out of this, especially you guys that are long-term listeners, you're like, man, should you love what Trey's doing? If you want to support this show, help us grow. Make this place go further. Help support what we do here at the Family Podcast Network, the lots of time we put into it. Consider becoming a P-Tacker. Why do I ask you guys to do that, by the way? I want you all to know, too, that we not only do the podcasting, but we also have to do all the web designing. We also do all of that. When I say we, I mean me. I also do all of the industrial technology. Whenever there's a website problem, I'm the one who makes those fixes. So those things are things that I believe in doing. So what I ask is for you guys to consider becoming a member. $5 a month from every one of you guys goes a long way in supporting the show and making it stand on its own two legs. So consider becoming a P-Tacker. To do that, you guys go to thefamilypodcast.com. Click on the Become a Member page or click on the P-Tacker button that will pop up, and you can sign up for $5 a month. You can get it for cheaper if you do it for an entire year. Also, guys, questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, something that you guys want to hear about, send them over to us. We want to hear from you. You can always email us at treygibson@thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. You also can go and click on the Contact Us page, it'll bring up the Japkin page. It'll pop up next. It'll say Japkin on it. You'll see it's got my picture and all that stuff. But you can click on the record of an audio message. You can also you can record a video message if you want to send us something like that. If you want to take something to your whole family and get a video of that, that's just fine. Again, it needs to be question-related if you want to hear it on the show. And just make sure you let us know what your question is. Get your question first, then give me the details last. And we'll see about airing your questions or questions on the air. All right, guys, I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up there just because we've got a great show ahead of us today. And we're going to talk about embarrassing mistakes that do us really good. You know, we often don't like to talk about the mistakes that we make. We had Anna Martin on a while back for the Libertarian Homeschooler, and she you know, I've actually brought this up quite a bit, but I think it's so good in how she articulated it. But you know, she called her segment that she did on the show when she came on, she called it the Ask Me How I Know segment. But the premise behind it was, you know, she was saying, here's the right thing to do. Now ask me how I know how to do this. And the answer typically was because I did it wrong first. And, you know, and there's a lesson behind that mentality that I want to convey today. I found a wonderful article over at psychologytoday.com over in their parenting segment that I love. We're going to go through that just a little bit. But we need to be more open and honest about our mistakes. You know, one of the reasons why I think Family Podcast Network has not just gone absolutely viral, I mean, outside of the fact not everybody's going to agree with us here, but there's more of us out there. I know there is, but why has this not been bigger? Why has it not spread and grown faster like I was hoping it would? I think for a large part, we don't like to admit to mistakes as parents. For whatever reason, I have some theories on it, but they're at this point just speculative in nature. But we don't like to admit that we make mistakes with our kids. And I think some of it comes from this concern that this isn't just like, oh, I made a mistake with my car and I threw a rod and blew up my engine or something like that. This is like, you know, the mistakes that we make could potentially have long-term devastating effects on our children. Which, if you want to look at it that way, in the most strictest of sense, isn't necessarily true. Kids are very adaptive. They are very resilient. That doesn't mean that they need to be taking a wallop all the time. It doesn't mean that just because a kid can take a wallop, and metaphorically speaking, and survive their childhood lives, that means that they're in the best states. In most cases, they will have stunted abilities and stunted growth in some cases, emotional, mental, physical. And that's a major issue. But they can make it, right? They can get through these things. But with that said, that I think that we're concerned that if we screw up as parents, then we screwed up our kids, right? If you're making a cake and you screw up, you know, one of your cake arts, right? The whole cake is typically pretty jacked up or something like that. I think it's kind of the mentality that all or nothing, that very black and white thinking that comes up with parenting. And the reality is that it's not that way. And the approaching to parenting, you know, it's one of the things that we say here. One of the phrases that's been prevalent throughout the years of Family Podcast Network is, what is a good parent? I mean, I think that's the definition that we all come back to. What exactly makes a good parent? And I think that naturally, our knee-jerk, and mine as well, our knee-jerk reaction is to start comparing how many quote-unquote right decisions have we made as parents and how many wrong decisions have we made as parents. And I think if we take that approach with things, then we are setting ourselves up for an impending failure in terms of what we do as parents. Because the reality is that we're going to make mistakes. This is more than likely your first time to have one kid, two kids, however many kids you have. It's your first time to have this many kids. And if nothing else, it is a fact the first time that you have had this kid. You may have had one kid. You may have had two kids. I'm a guy with six kids now. And as a guy with six kids, I will say that the first one, I really don't think you understand parenting with the first one. With the second one, I don't think you really understand having kids as a person yet. Not, I mean, not really. It's not until you get to that third one, to where you're truly outnumbered. It's not until you get to that third one that I think you really begin to get what parenting can be. Now, this isn't someone that, look how much more of a parent I am. Don't take it that way at all. But there's just something that happens to that. After the third one, you have to get adaptive. And so 4 and 5 and 6 and everything else from this point has just, I mean, it's come a little more easy because you have to be a little more adaptable. But inevitable, again, the inevitability of parenting is you're going to make mistakes. Because even if you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 all figured out, each one of them is a different kid. So if you can have 6 kids and then replace your 6th kid with a new 6th kid, a totally different 6th kid, you still have 6, but it would still be a different experience because this is a different kiddo. So you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make failures. And I think that in a lot of cases, we as parents reject not only the mistakes that we make, but we ignore them. And we miss out on the opportunity to grow some of the most that we can in our parenting. And if we can get to that point to where we have the Anna Martin mentality of, well, ask me how I know, right? If we can get to that point that we can see the mistakes that we make, not just as a parent here, I'm talking about the mistakes that we have made in the past, even as a person. Maybe you made some unsavory decisions in high school and college that retrospectively you look back on and go, my God, that was stupid. Did you know that those are some of the most influential things that can happen in your life as mistakes? They're very powerful because of how they're connected to the neurology. We're going to talk a little bit about the neurology of dopamine and serotonin and the pleasure chemicals in the brain and how they reinforce behavior by being rewarding because they feel good. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. It's very fascinating and interesting stuff. But I think the mistake is overlooked in its importance. I think the failures in our lives are viewed in more of a negative connotation than they should be, which should be the positive. They should be seen as the ultimate thing that helps us get to where we need to be. And I want to talk a little bit about that today from a parental aspect. Number one, I want you parents, any of you parents out there, to let yourself off the hook. If you've made some bad decisions in your life, and maybe you've hurt people, maybe you've hurt your spouse, maybe you've hurt your kids, maybe you've hurt the people that work around you. The fact of the matter is that due to our fallible nature, we screw up. We hurt people sometimes. And you have an option when you hurt people, when you make these mistakes that we're talking about here. You can sit there and wallow in it. You can sit there and I almost hate the word wallow because that's abuse. That people will often abuse that to try to say that, you know, if you're hurting or if you're upset or if you're feeling guilty for making these mistakes that you're feeling those things, well, you're wallowing. That's not necessarily true. What I mean when I say wallow is that you move yourself into an emotional state, but you don't use it to motivate yourself to do anything different. If you sit there and you wallow by that definition and sit there in your guilt or in your hurt or in your embarrassment or whatever else emotion's going on and you don't do a flipping thing to change it, that is bad, fill in the blank, parenting, spousing, whatever you want to say. What makes a good person, a good spouse, a good parent is your ability to take a look at the mistakes that you have been making. And I'm not saying that just because you make one or two or three mistakes, and you don't make a change because you don't really know how, or maybe you don't even want to in some cases, then that automatically makes you a bad parent. But there reaches a point where we acknowledge the fact that we know what our problem is, that we understand that there is a change that needs to be made, and one, we either don't look up any new information to figure out how we can do it different, we just keep doing it the same way and same way and same way over and over and over, or maybe you've done that research, and now you know you're just not choosing to. Now we're starting to move into that classic bad parenting. So we're going to talk today about how I think they're unsavory for us because it's kind of like a nasty border town, right? So you're like, let's just say you got one country borders with another country, and this one particular country is a pretty nice place and good roads and all that other stuff, but it borders right along the line of this destitute, you know, third world styled country, and it's dilapidated, poor road systems, lots of crime and all that stuff. You know, the border towns are very valuable because they allow you to patrol those areas and make sure you're not crossing the line. But that doesn't change the fact that it's still a border town. It still borders right on the edge of maybe a destitute place, right? And that's the way mistakes are. Mistakes are our border towns. And, you've got this other area over here that crosses the border into the bad parenting versus the good parenting. And mistakes are those border towns for us where we can stop and we can get out and we can either patrol the border or we can turn around and go and drive back the other direction or make that decision to cross the line. And so they make us uncomfortable, right? It's uncomfortable because they're near something that we don't enjoy talking about. But when we can acknowledge that these little towns exist, if they're near a place that we don't want to be, it allows us to decide what the best course of action is for this. Do we shore up the defenses and protect the border town? Do we grow it? Do we move away from it? What are we going to do? And so while we may not like it, we still need to talk about it for two reasons. Number one is for personal growth, right? We believe in that here at the Family Podcast Network. Your kids can't grow until you're willing to grow. You stop growing, you're going to start watching your kids stop growing, more than likely. So it's valuable for us to continue to grow ourselves. But number two, who is watching us to learn everything they're going to do in life? Our kids are. And if we want our kids to be able to grow and learn from their mistakes and stop doing the same dumb things over and over and over, even though they keep getting the same results, if we want our kids to experience that kind of life, we have to first be that person to the best of our abilities. Take a look at our mistakes and to grow. So I really want to take some time today to start thinking about some of the most embarrassing mistakes that we've made in our lives. There's a quote real popular made by Wayne Gretzky. He said, "You miss 100% of the shots that you do not take." And while that's really cute and wonderful in terms of inspirational speaking, there's a lot of truth behind it. You see, the other thing about mistakes is that it also removes our ability to do anything, to go anywhere, to grow. And so we have to get ourselves to the point that we can start seeing these border towns, these mistakes, as something that is valuable and helpful, and not something that we just want to avoid and stay away from, just try to pretend that they're not there. Our kids don't need that from us, because that's so invalidating. Have you ever had a person like that, maybe a boss in your life, that would come in and they would just lose it? They would just do the wrong thing. Maybe they'd scream. Maybe they'd yell. Maybe they were stealing something. Whatever it was that you knew they weren't supposed to do, but they never came and acknowledged it. It'll make you feel crazy sometimes, because you start to think, is this normal? Is this supposed to be happening? Is this okay? I remember that we had a boss years ago who was skimming money by every time we'd get to the end of the year, and we had all this money left over in our program. They would always rack up these huge, huge mileage bills that they didn't really even do. They didn't really drive in these places, but they always justified it to say, if we don't do this, then they'll take our money. If we don't do this, then they'll take the money from our program because we didn't spend it all. And so they would make up these fake trips and they would put these in their mileage logs. And when you sit there and you see this happen and they're so nonchalant about it, there was that part of me that was like, is this okay? Is this normal? Right? I didn't want to take it to my morals. I was just trying to look at it in terms of what it was and just say, is this okay? And sometimes when you hear somebody say, that is wrong. That is not okay. I remember when our CEO found out about it, he had a staff meeting and says, guys, that was wrong. And it was, to a certain extent, relieving to me. Because I finally got to hear, oh, thank God. And so being willing to, admit these mistakes is also very validating for our kids, especially when we make those mistakes towards them. It allows them to see, oh, what mom and dad made me feel really bad, made me feel uncomfortable, I didn't like it. And now they're telling me it was bad, and there's a reason why I felt this way. So it feels good. So we're going to talk a little bit today about this mistake that we're talking about. And I think to do this, it's very important to go just understand a little bit about the neurological reasoning behind what I'm talking about today when it comes to mistakes, because there's actually something very fascinating that happens in the brain whenever we experience things like mistakes. And so we kind of have to take a look at what exactly does the brain do, especially with things that, with emotions that are considered to be negative and strong. So strong negative emotions. That's why we're talking today about some of our greatest mistakes. In a lot of cases, in most cases, anytime that you're trying to learn something automatic, right, through memorization, you have to repeat that information over and over and over and over. You have to go over those things several times. And then if you leave the information alone, you don't repeat it, you have a tendency to lose that information over time. It's because it's that constant flashing that electricity down those neurological connections, those dendritic connections in the brain that make us go, oh yeah, that's what that is. And it helps us refresh those and strengthen the electrical connection that goes down those to help us remember them better, right? So that's average. The thing that's actually, mistakes in uncomfortable negative situations, the good thing about them is that they have a tendency to take what they call like a snapshot of your emotional makeup, whatever you're feeling, thinking, experiencing, just in that one flash. So I want you to think about, for those of you guys, where were you when 9/11 happened? I'll guarantee you that every single listener in here can pinpoint exactly where they were, exactly what they were doing. You probably can remember some of the visual stuff that was going on around you. See, I remember that moment when I was walking down the hall. I was getting my undergraduate degree at Tarleton State University, and I was in the industrial technology taking one of my core classes in computers. And I was walking down that hall, and I was on the northwest corner. And I remember that corner where it was. I can see it perfectly in my head. There was a TV on that end of that corner. And I remember that was when I saw the buildings on fire. And they said, the United States has been attacked. And that snapshot is stuck there. So you see, that's the way we input negative stuff. And the thing about it is that when we take these snapshots, these flashbulb, bink moments that just stick in there, they stick with us throughout time better than any other thing. It takes very little to refresh these, emotions. Like when we talked about regular manually trying to memorize stuff, it takes over and over and over, and you have to keep using it. This stuff can stay with us forever. And the cool thing about that is it means that when you're trying to remember the things that were associated with that moment, sights, the sounds, the smells, all the things that were going on around us, it's very, very, very easy to recall those when it's something that is negative, including embarrassing mistakes, those mistakes that we have in life, because they actually reach a part of the brain where where memory stores at a neural level stores, but in the other places, the subcortical memory storage area. And let me tell you, it is a fascinating thing how that works. Now, what we're talking about here is also one of the issues that many of our boys who are coming back from Iraq, Afghanistan, etc., now can you see why a lot of them are having problems when they come back from the war? Right? The reality is that our brains snapshot these things to where we remember details above and beyond what we can remember in almost any other case. And you see how that leads to where we get these diagnoses of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. The bodies can literally begin to re-experience the sights, the smells, the thoughts, everything that happens, and relive those in amazing detail. I had a friend who came back from Afghanistan, and he basically had to lay in some of the fallen bodies of some of the civilians that had gotten shot in a firefight, plus some of his buddies who had gotten shot, and the smell, and it attracted a lot of flies. And they were pinned down. They couldn't get up. They had several machine gun nests, and they had a couple snipers firing on them. They could not move, and they were waiting for air support. And that smell and the flies were horrible. They said the flies just swarmed in over all the dead bodies because a few of them had been decomposing for a while. And he came back to the States, and he was driving his truck one day, and there was a fly in his truck. And he said next thing he know, he was this stink, and just, man, it just triggered that emotion of being there, that fly flying around his face. It kept buzzing into his face, and he said immediately he tripped out of that. He woke up in the hospital. What happened was he actually apparently disengaged his seatbelt and went to go kill the fly going about 70 miles an hour down the road due to the PTSD, the traumatic flashback that he had. And anyway, all that to say, you can see how the brain memorizes this information in so much detail. And how, when in those cases, it can be a very life-threatening thing, a very dangerous thing. So let's say that Trey gets a new postal worker, and I have the new postal worker tell me their name, and they walk off. Right? If I didn't want to forget that name, this works for me every time. Now, if I want to remember their name, what I do is that I conjure up this memory of. I conjure up this memory of this postal worker holding my daughter Charlotte in her hands, who had waddled out into the street. What had happened was she had just gotten where she was mobile, and she wanted to go outside a lot, so we locked up all the gates. And one time we didn't lock the gates up, and she went out in the backyard, which was completely fenced in. She could not, quote-unquote, get out, but that gate was wide open, and she slipped out of that. And the postal worker was driving down the road and was dropping her mail off, and she was walking in the middle of the road, and they had to bring her to me. And that feeling of just vomitousness, whenever, some stranger had to bring my kid who had been running around in the road. And, I mean, that could have been deadly. And so that happened 2 or 3 years ago. And so now, that even now, 2 or 3 years later, that's a traumatic experience, a traumatic mistake to me, that now whenever I meet a postal worker, all I have to do is conjure up, dredge up that picture in my mind of that happening, and then use that name, and I can connect it. Right to neurologically, I can connect that name to that memory, and I can remember almost every single postal worker's name because I can attach it to that. So that's just kind of a little trick for you guys to play with that's kind of fun, and how we can use the stuff that has happened in our life that's kind of effective. But real quick, I read this a while back. This is actually the article that got my attention when it came to doing this about mistakes. But did you know that more than likely, if you were to sit down and ask yourself, when are the biggest mistakes that you ever made? What were they? Did you know they probably occur between the age of 12 and 22? The reason for that is that part of your brain that is receptive to those chemicals in there that help you remember those kinds of things and form those kinds of memories is the most sensitive between 12 and 22 for men and women both. And so during that heightened period, our brain tends to actually respond to negative stimulus when things happen to us, like those mistakes. We respond to them better between those ages of 12 and 22. And so anyway, it's a good time for us during those ages to help us learn and grow. So remember that about our kids as well. Fascinatingly enough, this is also one of the reasons why teenagers often are more dumb risk takers. I guess probably the more PC word for it. But it's why teens are so much more risk taking and involved in risk taking. There's a couple part of the brains. There's the amygdala, the inner part of the brain that has to deal with emotions and heightened emotions and whatnot. And that's balanced out with the prefrontal cortex. And in a healthy decision-making process, if you get really upset or you get really embarrassed or something by something, that amygdala light will light up. But the prefrontal cortex is that thing that'll kick in and say, you know what, that guy may have just cut me off in traffic. But, you know, if I go chase him down and run his car off the road, I'm probably going to get arrested, right? The prefrontal cortex kind of talks some sense into the amygdala. And so those two things will talk together. But what happens is that during that that period of, you know, that 12 to 22, you see a lot of these riskier behaviors because the body up until that point is beginning to practice with some of this negativity, and it actually kind of inhibits a lot of what we're talking about here from the 12 to 20 later in the 20s and up, because we need to be curious people. It's curiosity that allows us to go out and try new things and do new stuff and take that first step or hop on that bicycle or try a new video game out or learn a new language. I mean, it's that we need to be curious people, because if we're not curious, we're not able to learn anything, and we continue to be infants even in our chronologically old age, right? So we need that curiosity. And so a lot of our bigger decisions at 12 to 22 come because the body actually starts suppressing a lot of that forced negativity that happens. So that way we'll get out there and try new stuff. And so you'll find that during that time, you're very sensitive to the stuff that will happen, those negative consequences. And your brain actually learns very well in between those ages. So it's valuable to know that, especially if you guys have kids that are 12 and up in your house, up to 22, that a lot of this stuff is very normal and it's actually pretty good. But the thing is that, you know, if you give a kid the opportunity to learn, they're pretty smart folks. They're pretty smart kids. That's why kids rarely will ever, you know, grab hot stuff more than one time. If you'll just let them grab it one time, it's hot. Then we associate, you know, extreme pain hot with, listen, I told you this was really painfully hot, right? Then they often learn from it really, really well. And you'll actually find that in teens, in regards to like the precision and accuracy and what we can predict is going to happen is when we start seeing that fine-tuning. So in other words, once we start hitting 12 to 22, we become the most reactive to these mistake, they call it mistake reactivity, but you know, we're the most sensitive to our screw-ups and our mistakes from 12 to 22 is what I'm trying to say here. I'm trying to find a way to articulate that a little better. That's when we're at our best, is from 12 to 22. And it's also why you'll think some of your biggest mistakes, quote unquote, that you make in life are during that age. Well, even if they were the same level, the same size in terms of in negativity and in reaction that you have to it emotionally, your brain interprets it as bigger, I think. So it's a great time to learn. And that's why it's so important for our kids to grow up understanding mistakes, because these mistakes are so powerful in helping us learn and to grow and to stabilize out, especially emotionally. So I'm going to wrap this article up on just a concept that you guys have heard us talk about here. And it's this entire mentality that it's valuable for our kids to learn to fail. You know, one of the things we say here at the Family Podcast Network for kind of a Treyism is that our goal is to fail and to fail faster. We really want to work at putting ourselves in positions where we can fail, right? Well, why? Why would we want to do that? Why would we want to screw up quicker? Because you learn from your mistakes. When we teach our kids these two axioms here, that you learn from your mistakes, if you couple that with unless you try and even fail, you won't learn as effectively. Unless you could, when you can couple those things and teach those to kids, let me tell you, you're giving them something powerful. When you're teaching your kid to try something and totally screw up on something and make that huge mistake, the reality is that is how they learn and absorb the things that go on around them better than ever. So we have to have our kids making mistakes if they're ever going to be able to learn. Do you hear what I'm saying here? I'm actually saying it's not just about, well, we have to deal with the fact that mistakes come. What I'm trying to communicate today is that mistakes are fundamentally the foundation of learning. They are essential to learning. If you try to mitigate and eliminate the mistakes that kids are going to make, you are literally making it harder for them to learn the lesson. We got to let our kids screw up. So I want to wrap this up on just what are some common mistakes that I see here at the Family Podcast Network that I think is some of the things we need to watch for, mistakes in our parenting. This is taking a little bit of a different venue. Remember, we want to be making mistakes as parents, and we want to be open with our kids about those mistakes. That doesn't mean if you made some huge sexual mistakes in your past, you need to be upfront with your kids in the sense of being graphic and detailed. Maybe, maybe not. Depending on what age they are and where their questions lead you is where that's the issue. But what we are saying is that we need to be upfront with our kids. So talking about some of the bigger ones that I see is I think it's real easy. My number one here is that parents have a tendency to judge each other. And I call this one of the cardinal sins, the big time no-no boo-boo-woo-woo of mistakes that we make as a parent. And it's so very easy to criticize parents and to make fun of them and to say that they're being horrible people and that they're doing horrible things. And, you know, the reality is those issues may be true. But if we spend so much time looking around at other people, humans have a tendency to use that as their justification to not grow. It's why I think people love The Biggest Loser so much. Why do people love The Biggest Loser and these weight loss-like shows? Well, it gives us these dichotomous people that are morbidly obese and just humongously, grossly overweight. And it allows us to have deep down inside our heads that belief system, well, at least I'm not that bad, right? And I think that parenting is the same way. We like to criticize parents and make them out to be horrible because it helps us justify right where we are. And it's one of the bigger mistakes that I think we have to do. Outside of that, you know, how is this an embarrassing mistake, Trey? Well, I mean, what is it? What happens? Have you ever been caught gossiping or talking crap about somebody else, another family, and how embarrassing that is? There's a good way to remember a name right there. So don't judge other parents. Again, as Anna Martin would say, ask me how I know this. Number three, forgetting that our actions speak louder than words. Excuse me, number two. This is number two. Deep down inside of this man, there is a philosopher who loves philosophy and wisdom and knowledge, and I think they're wonderful. And however, I think sometimes I have a tendency to spend so much time trying to show my kids and teach them the ways of philosophy and the wonders of the world too much through words. Words is good, don't get me wrong, but I spend so much time trying to teach them through words, I forget to just go do it. And this is a huge mistake that I think parents make today that often goes uncorrected. And we like to talk to them about the ideal, but we don't want to be the ideal because typically the ideal is hard. My next one, number three, is raise the child. This is mistakes that we make. We have a tendency to raise the kids that we see them, that we want them to be, and not raise them into the kids that they want to be. Now, this is a big no-no. We have a tendency to believe that they're going to be a this, they're going to be a that, and you know we want them to grow up and be successful, and maybe that's going to be a doctor. I don't care if it's going to be a doctor, blah, 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 blah. We just want them to go up and make lots of money or whatever, right? Instead of saying, okay, what is my kid going to be? What does my kid want to be? What do they have the aptitudes and the skill and the love for? What are they willing to go do? And what we need to be doing, there's a podcast that we did on this in regards to parenting. molding our kids versus growing our kids. And we take an approach here. The goal of parenting is to grow our kids, not shape them. But I think a lot of parents see that, like, our kids are this lump of clay in our hands, and we spin them and we turn them throughout the years, and we sit there and add, you know, indentations and impressions, and we make this work of art. And here we say, no, that is not how you raise a child. What we say here is, when you raise a kid, it's like a seed, and you give that seed everything that it needs to grow, and then you start adding water to it, and you take care of it. Now, you're going to plant a green bean seed, and you're not going to sprout a squash seed. Or you're not going to sprout a green bean plant and then try to turn it into a cucumber plant, right? It's just not going to happen. And our kids are the same way. We cannot sit there and have them come out of the ground and then try to grow them into something that they are not. What we are to do is to figure out what kind of plant they are and then tailor everything around them to what they are. Oh, this is a cucumber plant. You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull this, you know, these extra tendrils over here, and I'm going to wrap them around the chain link fence so they'll grow up the fence and the cucumbers can grow. Right? That's a big no-no right there, is when we try to make the kids become what we think that they should be. Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and start trimming these off just a little bit. We'll do that one if I have time. Here's another big one. Another big, big, big one. A lot of times we have a tendency to think our kids are perfect. Our kids are perfect. And the reason for that is comes from a good place. A lot of time it comes because we see our kids and we're desperately wanting to produce these good behaviors from them. We teach them and we train them, and we have a tendency to get to see them. And we often develop these good systems in our house of these kids practicing these good behaviors. But sometimes they go to school and we're not there, and they want to practice with what's it like to do the opposite of what mommy and daddy say to do when they're not looking, right? We cannot believe that our kids are perfect. Your kids are going to go out and make stupid decisions. My oldest kid is 8 years old right now. You know what? She's made some dumb decisions. Some really dumb decisions in her life. But if we believe that our kids are perfect, we can't get to that point that we can sit down with them and offer them legitimately honest advice. So whenever our kids do screw up, we have a tendency to see this as like an affront to everything that we believed about them. And we've, in a sense, set them up for an expectation they're incapable of living up. Your kids are going to screw up. They're going to make some bad decisions. They're going to make some really bad decisions. They may make some seriously huge bad decisions that could very potentially alter their life. They may get a minor in possession of alcohol, right? I mean, we don't know those things. But our kids are not perfect. And if we expect them to be perfect, we're really setting them up to screw them up. Another thing I see, and we'll go ahead and wrap it up on this one, is that I see parents, we are a very self-centered nation with very self-centered communities. And our kids grow up in this, and quite frankly, they get a pretty big kick out of it because most of what we do revolves around them, their needs, and their wants. And what we have a tendency to do is we have a tendency to put every other need and everything in our life under our kids. And our kids do not need to be the center of our worlds. They do not need to be the universe for us. They don't need to be our everything. Some of the sickest things I've ever said is, do you not know that you're all I have? Well, dadgum it, go get some more crap then. I'm not saying go buy more cars. But I see so many people put their marriages on hold for the kids. No, no, no. No, you better believe that when I'm talking to my kids, when I talk about priorities, I always list my priorities out. Number one, my relationship with my God. We've never made a secret here. Family Podcast Network, we believe in the God of the Christian Bible, and we follow his tenets through the Christian Bible. Now, mind you guys don't have to be that to be here and be we'll be able to get along on so much stuff. It won't matter that we might disagree on that. But we openly, adamantly believe in that. And so the number one priority for us is the relationship with God. Number two is my relationship to my wife. I say that's number two over the kids. Well, why is that? If I'm constantly sacrificing my relationship with my wife for the kids, my kids see that and they're going to grow up thinking that's what you're supposed to do. And I want them to know you need to take care of your people. And one of your people is your spouse. That goes both directions. That's not just men for women. That is women taking care of their men's spouse, right? We got to take care of each other. And kids need to see that. And if we are making everything revolve around them, it is not going to end well. So, as some people would say, don't worship your kids. Acknowledge that they aren't perfect, like we talked about before. And take that time to promote selflessness, to focus on other people. Arbinger would say focus on the needs of others. The Christian Bible, for instance, would say things like, focus on your brother, focus on your sister. And I think that's a valuable thing that we need to do when we can get into that mentality of looking outward of ourselves in a non-forced way. In other words, a consensual desire. I agree to look around at my people and see how can I help them be successful. When we can get to that point, I'm telling you, that's where it comes from. And so those are some of the biggest mistakes that I think that we make as parents. Be open and be honest with those. Be open and honest with the people around you, your spouses and your kids, about these mistakes and the things that we do. And I'm telling you, if you're teaching your kid that mistakes are understandable, that they happen, and that we can work with them and grow from them, we're setting our kids up with something that can be more valuable than many of the things that we can give them on this show. All right, guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Don't forget to come join us this Wednesday, where we're going to have another episode of the Family Podcast Network. We're always knocking out good stuff, good content. We're back in the year for 2015. You're definitely going to stay tuned. We've got some good stuff that's going to be coming up. Also, you want to come join Jeff and I this Friday for our next episode of the Real Family Guys Podcast. Definitely going to check out last week, where we talk about the rubber band discipline, a great discipline technique that has Jeff and I's attention. Definitely want to go check that out. Hey, if nothing else, you guys have a great day and a great week. We'll see you all on Wednesday.